Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Over the next hour, Rob Pritchard here and the team with you for the next hour to take a look at the sporting action on the Isle of Man and beyond this weekend coming up tonight. The top two in Ardern and Drigon Limited Division 2 meet in a big southern clash in this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures. In rugby, can Douglas keep up their good Regional 2 North West form at Birkenhead Park? Meanwhile, Ramsey are on the road at Clitheroe and a local clash awaits in the Manx Shield. And in hockey, after cup competitions took centre stage last time out, mixed league action returns on Saturday and a trio of national teams in action across the water. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard and the rest of the team with you here for the next hour, looking ahead to the latest football, rugby and hockey action, both on the Isle of Man and further afield this weekend. The attention will turn to league matters in hockey. We'll be looking at that in a little bit, and also a trio of rugby fixtures, both on and off island combined this weekend. We'll be catching up with our rugby correspondent Dave Christian in a little bit, but turning to football first, and joining us for the first time this evening, our football correspondent Tony Meppen. Tony, very good evening.
Good evening, Rob. Weather's looking okay. A little bit the wind kicking around. We had that problem last weekend, but as long as the wet stuff stays away, we should have a full programme.
Indeed. Well, just before we get into the fixtures, just a reminder as well that there are no fixtures pending for Sunday this week due to the school half-term break, so no women's or masters fixtures taking place on Sunday. Nevertheless, we still have a busy schedule planned across the men's divisions, on the senior men's divisions on Saturday. Very tight at the top across the top two divisions, the Canada Life Men's Premier League and Ardern and Drigon Limited Division 2. We'll turn to the top fight first, the Canada Life Men's Premier League, Tony. And just 2 points separating the top trio of Corinthians, Laxey and Onken. We'll take a look at their respective games as we go on. We'll start with Laxey, in fact, because although they are currently trailing Corinthians at the top of the table, they are undefeated at the moment, but they've got a very tricky task at home against the defending champions Peel this weekend.
They certainly have. I think this is a big test for them because, let's face it, Laxey, we didn't expect them to be sort of pushing as much as they are at the top of the table. As well with Peel, I know that they've had a few issues and that's why they've played some games less than Laxey. But, you know, when you look at what's the strengths that these two sides have got, probably Peel's is going forward. Thomas Brown, we saw that last week with another couple of goals, but he's still leading the Golden Boot. But his strike partner, Jason Charmer, with 4 goals, just shows where the threat is going to come from. With Laxey, where's their strengths? Defensively, they've looked really strong this season. And I think that's what's sort of pushing Laxey up towards the top of the table. And when you look at that result against Foxdale recently, 9-2, shows that they can score goals as well. Defensively, they're being led by Cameron Avery, who's doing a great job. Tom Kenny's in there as well, so that partnership is going well. But Aidan Pickering's the one I think you've got to look at, the goalkeeper. He's been sort of playing combination football. He's only a young lad. He's under 18 years of age, but he's coming to Laxey's first team and holding his own big time. And with him in the great form that he is, that's going to be the difficulty that Peel are going to have in breaking them down. Joe Walters is back in. He's playing well. Tom Smith as well. But when you look at Peel's team, there's so many good young players in there. And when you look at Oscar Bignall, you've got people like Israel Dunn, Scott Horn, Finn O'Donoghue, and you've got Ben Woodridge as well. It's going to be a great event because Laxey have got some really talented young players. And as you're probably looking at your league table, Rob, when we look at Corinthians on 9, Laxey on 8, Onken on 8, Peel have only played 6 games, but the qualification for the Railway Cup is after 12. So now we're coming to the business end. The clubs have got to go maximum, I think, and I'm going to go for a draw on this one.
Very well. And then over to the Nivison Stadium and Onken, who we've previously mentioned, they're only 2 points off the top at the moment. Bearing in mind as well, Laxey in second and Onken in third have a game in hand over Corinthians, who lead the way. And for Onken, they're going to be hosting Foxdale, and it's been a tough old start, and it's still proving to be a tough old start to the season for Foxdale. 7 defeats from 7 games, yet to get points on the board at the moment. And on paper at least, Tony, it looks a bit of a mismatch.
It does, but have a look at the game that Tonkin had recently against Braddon. They were 2-0 down at one stage, and then, OK, they got a goal back in, Onken, but then they were 3-1 down, so they are vulnerable at times. But again, Onken's been really strong going forward, really strong in the defensive department. And Tom Creer's hat-trick, absolutely brilliant last week. But Callum Dawson, good goalkeeper. Max Shirley's been in good form. Tom O'Neill as well. So it points towards an Oncombe victory, and how much do they want this Railway Cup semi-final? Big time. And Foxdale, as you rightly say, Liam Cannon and Charlie Harrison probably get goals, but the goal difference is huge now, isn't it? Minus 36, but they're only 4 points away from Old Boys, 5 from Braddon, so it's not panic stations, but they could do with something, but I don't think they'll get it from Oncombe.
Very well. Then over at Mullinacoe in the west of the island, St John's United, 8th after the 7 games they've played, 2 wins from 7, including 3 draws. They're going to be hosting Braddon, who remain just 1 point above the relegation zone at the moment with that 1 win from their opening 8. And Tony, I watched Braddon in that game against Onken last weekend, and for the most part were highly competitive against an in-form Onken side. And although they've come away empty-handed, do you think they may, from the performance and the results side of things, maybe take a bit of heart from that coming up against an experienced St John's United?
Very much so, and I totally agree with you, Rob, because second game of the season I watched them against Corinthians and I thought they battled really well. Nathan Robinson's a new signing for them. He's getting to know his teammates around him, and he's a good player. You don't go to a professional club for a couple of years as schoolboy scholarship by not being a good player. But the players around him, Michael Hutton, rolling back the years, and he's only, 29, 30 years of age, but can still score goals. But Nick Harvey's been in good form, and himself and Duncan Reid up front can cause sorts of problems. But Lex Mady is another good player for Braddon. Joel Ibanez, good signing. Joe Burrows as well. So Braddon are going well. But I was impressed with St John's the first 45 minutes last week. And I think St John's, you'll see them climb up the table now. And Liam Sales missing, one of the goal scorers last week. He's away. But Lewis Taylor, Sam Ingham were solid at the back. Joey Savage worked well in that midfield space. Andrew Chadwick had the game of his life last week. And just to rectify, because I know, I think he was speaking with Ben about James Rice and his goalkeeping position. James stepped in last week just as a one-off because he was going away this week. He didn't want to get injured playing, but he is going to remain an outfield player. So to have someone of his ability, an FC Alamann goalkeeper, playing outside, there you go. He's sort of a good player outside as well. Reece Oates scored last week. Good result for him. I'm going to go for St John's to win.
Yeah, the fact of James Rice playing outfield might feel a bit alien to someone like me, but he did get covered last weekend. The early kickoff in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. So just a reminder, all games bar 2 games kicking off at 2:30 p.m. and one of the earlier kickoffs is St Mary's versus Union Mills. Now, St Mary's, 7th in the table at the moment, just 3 wins from 8 so far for St Mary's, but ran the current leaders, Corinthians, very close last weekend, only losing out by a goal to nil, Bala Fletcher. They're going to be coming up against Union Mills, Tony, who were 7 points so far this campaign, after only 6 games and just 3 points above the bottom 2.
Yeah, I think Union Mills, Ryan Kelly, the manager, will be disappointed with the first half performance 7 days ago. As you rightly say, 10th in the league, so they're only just behind St Mary's. But what a start it was for them. And he's a good player, Tyler Hughes, with the first goal. Good to see Owen Quayle back in there at the back for Millers. But when you look at St Mary's, how did they get it so close with Corinthians? Well, the reason is the starting lineup that they had was full of quality players, and one or two players returning back from injury. And when you look at Jack McVeigh in there, he'll always add sort of experience. You've got Jack Murray scoring goals, Therese Thompson who's scoring plentiful. And if you noticed on the bench was Johnny Myers. So once Johnny's fully fit, he's just coming back, I think, a knee injury, then he would, I think, slot in at the back for St Mary's. But I think Union Mills will find it tough going. And unnoticed, Mark Wolfenden was on the bench for St Mary's. So if he's fully fit, he can cause problems. St Mary's take the points.
In the north of the island, that's where the Canada Life Men's Premier League current leaders will be heading. Corinthians, top of the table, 6 wins, 3 draws and no defeats from their opening 9 games so far. So they have played a game more than Laxey and Onken, who are chasing them down at the moment. They're heading to the Ballacloan Stadium to face a Ramsey side. 3 wins from 8 so far, Tony.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Corinthians have got to do it without Sean Doyle. He's not available. Luke Murray's not available. So Ben Qualtrough's got to tinker with the team a little bit. Experience will be having to help the younger players because Stuart Smith's back in, which is great to see. But you've got people like Connor Clark, Bevan Colley, Declan Blake, you know, who are all sort of good young players coming through, quality as well. And Ryan Burns, they'll be hoping to cement them together. But Ramsey, Mason Prince will probably be in sticks for them. Graham Kinnish is back, which is good. Matthew Montgomery's in there as well. And when you look at people like Jamie Agnew and also Tom Chattel up front, Callum Hudson is in the team now as well because he's not an FC Alaman at the moment. Ramsey will make it difficult. Home advantage, great place to play. I'm going to go for Corinthians to win.
And then finally, in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, it's, I think, arguably the biggest journey distance-wise in Manx football, as it is. Ayr United, by their standards, it remains a bit of a topsy-turvy campaign so far. The 3 wins from 8 so far, and on their 11 points, they're 10 points off the pace of leaders Corinthians at the moment. They're going to be hosting Russian United, sit 4th in the table, Tony. And although they may have just, by the smallest of fractions, just dropped off the pace of the leading trio after a great start to the season, still in a great place at the moment. 16 points on the board and only 3 points behind Onken in 3rd.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Ayr United, they've got players in there who, you know, can. We know Sean Kelly what he's capable of, but Jamie Callister as well, his leadership is so, so important. Alfie Scott playing for his new club will be looking to see if he can score some more goals. Mark Nixon, I watched him earlier on in the season. I think it was the Charity Shield, and he certainly can push forward. But Declan Cummins is important to create in that midfield. But Russian, I keep looking at them. I think you're going to lose this week. And they keep coming up with a win. And that's what happened last week when they won 2-0. But Ashley Blake, Aaron Hawley with the goals in that one. But Dean Kearns is playing well in goal. Great to see Joe Kelly back in the team because I really like him as a player. He's tricky up front. But other people like Cameron Dudley, Jack Gilbert will make it difficult. And Scott Mason at the back is holding things together. I just think it might be a tight game for Ayr to win, and that's why I go for Russian to take victory.
So those are the games in Canada Life Men's Premier League. Again, a reminder, all so 5 of the 6 games kicking off at 2:30 p.m. The exception, St Mary's versus Union Mills at the Ball, which will start at the earlier time of 1:45. Our Dernan Drug Unlimited Division 2 then, 4 games there this weekend, and one stands out in particular, which we'll come to in just a moment. But we're going to start things off at the moment with Maroun. So a bit of an hot and cold record, if you like, Tony, so far, with 3 wins from their opening 6. 6 in the table at the moment, and currently 8 points off the top 2 promotion spots as it stands at this still relatively early stage in the season. They're going to be at home against the Governors Athletic side, who after their 5 games are still searching for their first win of the new season.
Yeah, and I think you look at Maroun, 6th in the league, as you say, Governors are not far behind them, they're in 8th. But I think Maroun had they always missed the first game of the season because of the pitch not being available. And then there's a couple of reasons why, I think it was their second game, that they couldn't sort of play. But I think their usual goal scorers are starting to filter through now. Carl Hartman, Charlie Scarfe will mix it. Michael Hughes, I think, has been a good signing for them from St George's. Harry Horbury also, who wears the number one jersey. And Dave Reynolds, who joined this season, and his passion and organisation at the back for Maroun will help big time. But Governors will keep chipping away, and Billy Sweeney, the manager, will be happy enough with the way things have gone. People like Peter Dunn and Josh Dunn will make it awkward for Maroun. But the league tables don't lie, and I just think Maroun will come out winners with the guys that they've got up front.
Elsewhere at Springfield Road, Paul Rose United still having a positive start to the season. 4 wins from 7 at the moment. Their 12 points puts them 6 points off the top 2 as it stands. They're coming up against Douglas and District, who got their first point of the season last weekend with a 1-1 draw up against Douglas Royal and Tony. Their first point of the season, Douglas and District, and trying to look back just through my mind at the moment, didn't register much points-wise throughout last season as well. So that, do you imagine that'll be a big boost for them coming up against the Paul Rose United team that have impressed so far this season?
Definitely, because I think Douglas Royal are a reasonable Division 2 side, and they'll get better. Richard Radcliffe, it was, who got the goal last week in that draw. But, you know, they've got other people around, Dean Kinley, Benjamin Hall, who can sort of have a go. I think they're 1 or 2 players missing tomorrow, so the manager will have to shuffle the pack from last week's squad. But for Paul Rose, they're really trying their hardest, aren't they, at the top. And that result against Castletown has just pegged them back a little bit. And with Joe Canepa, Owen Canepa up front, Barry English is just behind them. People like Dylan Vick and Robert McGinn can get amongst it. Then I just think it will be a fruitful day for Paul Rose. But that was a big surprise and a big performance last week by D&D. And if they can produce that again, who knows?
Indeed, and I've saved what is arguably the best to last in our Dern and Drigon Limited Division 2 this weekend, because what a game we could have in store here. Not only is it the top two in Division 2 facing off to two southern rivals as well, so it is Castletown, second in the table, 6 wins from 7, just the 1 defeat so far. They are going to host the Moonlighters. Colby, top of the table, 6 wins from their 8 so far, and the only undefeated side in the second tier at the moment. 2 points clear of Castletown, but having played a game more at this stage. Tony, in the context of the season, which has a long way to go, we should still caveat that, just how big could this be in the title race for Division 2 for the months ahead?
Absolutely huge. And when you look at Colby, at the start of the season, when one or two players left them, they just thought, well, this is going to be a little bit harder. But then players have come back, and they had that massive win against Paul Rose, wasn't it? 3-0 recently. Ollie Edge scoring straight from a corner. So well done to him. Radcliffe is a good player for them, playing against his old club. But also Martin Vegas-Brown and Jordan Edge have been putting in good performances for Colby. But for Castletown, it's just they're lethal going forward, aren't they? Alex Crawley's been in great form. Robert Tier, who I've said it before at the start of the season, won near enough every trophy available to a first-team player at Castletown last year. Tom Moore is doing a good job as well. But, you know, Rob Crawford will prove a good signing for him, and Harry Hinks is playing well. This is tough to predict, Rob, and I don't really want to sit on the fence on this, so I'm going to stick my neck out, and I'm going to go just purely because I think they've got to try and win it, is Colby to take victory.
Just to go with some stats to back up what you were saying, Tony, as well, Castletown, they are the top scorers in Division 2 at the moment, 37, but also the tightest defence at the moment as well, only conceded 7 in the league so far this season. Colby not too far behind, it must be said, in terms of goal scoring. They've got 30 and shipped 14 goals as well, so relatively similar records in there. Turning our attention then to the combination leagues, and well, there was a big result, wasn't there, last weekend when it comes to the Canada Life Combination 1 title race, with Ramsey continuing their unbeaten run up against fellow challengers Russian United, a 2-1 victory there. Turning to this weekend then, we'll start with what's going to be happening in the west of the island as Peel take on Laxey.
Yeah, and Peel have been scoring plenty of goals, haven't they? So have Laxey, so this could be probably about a 15-all game, because when you look at one of the games with Laxey, they won, what was it, 7-6, and then it was something like 5-4 the week after, and they've been banging them in. But Laxey still a little bit down in the table, are on fourth position at the moment, played 9, so they played more than the teams around them. But I think Peel, good young players in there, Peel will take the victory.
And out of Billy Go Parker, Foxdale, just like the first team over at Foxdale, it's a challenging season so far. Just the 1 win from 8 at the moment. They're bottom in 13th in Canada Life Combination 1 at the moment. Coasting an Onken side, 7th in the table at the moment with 3 wins from 6.
Yeah, and hopefully Foxdale will be okay tomorrow to get the team out, because last week they couldn't get the 11 players that were needed. So I've got to go for Onken to win, and they're sort of still pushing at the top, the mid-table. And I just think they're going to be too strong for Foxdale.
And then Braddon versus St John's United. So again, just to take a quick look at the table, Braddon third from bottom at the moment in 11th. 1 win from 7, 5 points on the board in total at the moment, up against St John's United side. Fifth at the moment, and Tony, if they were to take victory this weekend, and depending on results elsewhere, could realistically move up into the top four and then level on points with Corinthians in third if Corinthians weren't to take any points this weekend, although be a bit behind in goal difference. So St John's United still pushing towards the upper reaches of Canada Life Combination 1 at the moment.
Yeah, they are, but I think St John's problem is going to be is the two first-team players that played last week are missing, so they're going to raid the combination, which then doesn't help things. And, you know, one of the players was a forward player, and, you know, if you're going to win goals, you need a goal scorer. But I think St John's have still got enough. Braddon, a little bit sort of off it a little bit in combination one, but St John's always been strong.
And then Gary Moore, Union Mills, second from bottom at the moment. The 1 win from 7 so far and 4 points on the board. Will be hosting a St Mary's side who are 9th in the table at the moment on 10 points. And actually, if they were to take victory, they could move up as many as 4 places if teams above them drop points.
Yeah, and I think sort of Union Mills, again, have got one or two sort of players coming back from injury, first team players, so they could play tomorrow for the combination. I haven't heard any team news, but certainly St Mary's will have one or two players there, and I'm going to go for St Mary's to win.
And then over at Bella Fletcher, Corinthians third in the table at the moment. They may be 5 points off the top, but only 2 points behind Russian United in second. So if Ramsey or Russian were to slip up in any particular way, they'd be looking to pounce, and they have the chance to actually actively affect that because they are taking on Ramsey at the top of the table. How wary do Ramsey have to be of this, Tony, against the Corinthians side that have looked good in combination one so far?
They have. I think they've got to be careful because certainly when you look at Corinthians battled well with Russian and just lost out, and here they are against Ramsey. I think where it will be won and lost is physicality, because Corinthians are very, very young indeed, and people like Caleb Hugo, I know he's a really good player, plays up front, but he's a slight player, and I think Ramsey a little bit stronger, a bit more physical. But it's a big test for them. It's a big test for Corinthians as well, because it will put their marker down if they could get something out of this one. I'm going to go for a draw in this. I think, you know, again, Corinthians have lost one or two players to the first team, so it'll make them slightly weaker.
Yeah, and Ramsey, like I say, they're still the only undefeated side in Canada Life Combination 1 at the top of the standings at the moment. Well, if Ramsey were to drop points in any fashion this weekend, Russian United might have the chance to claw back some ground after defeat to Ramsey last weekend. They're going to be hosting Air United, 10th at the moment, with 2 wins from 7.
They are, and I think, you know, Russian United, well, how many years have we sort of been talking about Combination 1 when you look at two teams dominating? That's Ramsey and Russian, and first and second they are at the moment. And you know, Russian again have got good young players that have come through, and you know, more experienced players can slot in there and help them as well. And I just think, looking at the league table, there's a massive gulf in this game, and then Russian will take the points.
Moving on then to Arden and Drug Unlimited, Combination 2 very quickly as well. So taking a look at the fixtures there, Douglaston District, 1 win from 8 so far. They're 10th in the table at the moment. A goal difference of minus 50 at the moment as well. So a significant turnaround in goal difference surely wanted over at Douglaston District. They're going to be hosting Michael United, who sit bottom of the table at the moment. For these two sides wanted to lift themselves away from the lower regions of the Combination 2 table as well. Do you think both might look at this as an opportunity for points on the board?
Absolutely, and you know, Michael United, give them credit, because they knew it was going to be tough at the start of the season to sort of get the team out, and you know, we've nurtured them through the process at the start, and we've given them the opportunity to play in Combination 2, and it just shows that it needed to be done. You know, people have criticised me, the FA if you want, for allowing three teams to have a Combination team only. This proves its point on this one, and I think it'll be a tough afternoon for Michael. Go with Douglaston District.
And Governors Athletic versus Moran. This is actually the second of the two earlier, slightly earlier kickoffs on Saturday. This is a 2 p.m. kickoff at St. Ninian. So Governors Athletic mid-table at the moment, in seventh at the moment, up against a Moran team who are sitting fifth as well. So just 2 points separate these two sides going into this one, Tony.
Yeah, and this is played at St. Ninian's High School. One or two people keep saying where they're playing these days, because the pitch has been dug up at Nobles Park. But no, it's at Douglas High School, top of Bray Hill, and I'm going to go for the Wayside Moran to win.
Now, before we get to this next fixture as well, just to give you a bit of context on Combination 2 as well, the only two remaining senior men's sides with perfect records are in Combination 2 at the moment, and it's a battle right now towards the top between Paul Rose United in first and Ramsey Centre and All Boys in second. Paul Rose United, 8 wins from 8. Ramsey Centre and All Boys, 7 wins from 7. And the latter of those will be hosting Douglas Athletic this weekend, who are only 3 points further back, 6 wins from 7, just the one defeat. Ramsey Centre and All Boys against Douglas Athletic, Tony, second versus third. Can either really afford to lose any ground over Paul Rose United this weekend?
I think no, they can't. I think Ramsey Youth Centre will keep chipping away. Douglas Athletic, I just look at the team that they've got there. There's a lot of Masters players in. So if they get injured, then it could sort of mean that they're sitting out for a few weeks and make them a little bit weaker. But what a great game this is in Combination 2. Ramsey Youth Centre will have a right good go, but I just think the experienced Athletic have got will just take them to the victory that they need, and that's the 3 points.
And Paul Rose United at the top, looking to keep up their perfect record. They're away at home against Jim's in fourth at the moment.
Yeah, Jim's are doing okay, and they've climbed up the table quite nicely. They've played a lot more games than the teams around them, but you know, Paul Rose have been absolutely superb, haven't they? Played 8, won 8, and you can just credit to them for, you know, playing the football that they are, and I'm going to go with Paul Rose.
And in terms of the teams towards the bottom, we've already mentioned two that will be meeting looking to get points. Well, two others in the bottom four at the moment are St George's and Maloo. Maloo will be hosting St George's at Clackvane this weekend. Both sides, well, they're two of three sides on 3 points towards the bottom end of the table. Opportunity for either side to get more points on the board here, Tony.
Yeah, it is. I tried to have a look at St George's team sheet, but it wasn't available, just to see what players are come through, because it's like the first team, Rob. It's not recognisable to what we've seen over the recent years. I'm going to go for Maloo to take the win.
And finally, the southern rivalry we've heard of in Division 2 this weekend between the two current title rivals, if you'd like to put it that, at this stage of the season. Well, Colby hosts Castletown in the combination fixture between the two clubs this weekend. And although both are not battling towards the top of the table, just like in Division 2, they're still very close together here. Castletown in 8th on 9 points, Colby in 9th on 8.
Yeah, they're chipping away, and when you look at sort of Castletown, they've only played 6 games compared to Colby's 8. So they're in a good place. I'm going to go for Castletown to win it. And as I say, with their Southern Derby, home and away, it's always good if they all go out as a group and have a beer later on. But somehow I don't think that sort of happens down south. And maybe I'm being wishful thinking on that one. I know it happens up Ramsey and Eyre, but Colby and Castletown, I think there's a little bit more between them.
Watch this space on that one, I guess, exactly. Then maybe. Well, those are Saturday's fixtures. And again, just a reminder, if you missed it at the start of the show, there are no fixtures in the Women's or Masters Leagues taking place on Sunday due to being the half-term break. So we've just got around 60 seconds, Tony. Just want to quickly get your thoughts on FC Isle of Man. They head to City of Liverpool, being played at Burscoe's Community Ground this weekend. Kick-off now at 3:30 p.m. due to the slightly later sailing tomorrow morning. Targeting FC Isle of Man for the first time this season, 3 games unbeaten.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? And Rick Holden, you know, doing a good job, really, to be fair. And we did say from the first game, Rob, that he needed a little bit of time to impose himself on the team and what he expects. And I think that, you know, it's holding well. The camp seems happy. Players are staying fit. And let's just hope that they win it. It's going to be a tough game for them, and a home game next week as well. So if they can keep this run going, puts confidence in the team, and you know, puts a bit of belief back in the supporters as well. And you know, when they come back over next weekend, hopefully the supporters will be out to support them.
Indeed, FC Isle of Man back at home next weekend. But before then, as we mentioned, FC Isle of Man heading to play City of Liverpool at Burscoe's Community Ground. Kick-off tomorrow now at 3:30 p.m, previously scheduled for 3 p.m. But due to the slightly later departure of tomorrow's sailing that the team will be on, FC Isle of Man has confirmed this afternoon the game will now get underway slightly later at 3:30 p.m. So we're going to be taking a look at the rugby and hockey schedules in the next few moments. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. We're turning our attention to rugby now, and 3 fixtures are combined on an off-island schedule this weekend. And first of all, we're going to be turning our attention to Douglas, and the big question will be, can they keep up this strong start to their latest Regional 2 Northwest campaign? Well, they're going to be on the road this weekend, and to take us through things as ever, it's our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. So Dave, first of all, with regards to Douglas, it's all looking pretty rosy right now, isn't it? But against Birkenhead Park, historically at least, they've not had the best of the head-to-head record.
No, not at all. Birkenhead Park were one of the bigger clubs. They've been up and down the league structure quite a few times. They've just come down into Douglas's league. Difficult to know how they're going to make out quite at this early in the early stage in the season, at least. They've not got a particularly auspicious start to the season behind them. I think they've won 1 from 6 or 2 from 6 or something like that. Douglas are better, and Douglas also have a game in hand. That game in hand would put them second in this table. So compared to sluggish starts for the last two seasons, they're going really well. And I don't want to say too much now in case I put the commentator's curse on them. So they've gone well. They've had a great start. Let's hope they can build on that and maybe kick on towards the end of the season. Birkenhead Park have played North Ribblesdale. They played Douglas in their opening fixture, and Ribblesdale won at Birkenhead Park. And of course, Douglas beat them at Portishee, albeit with a penalty try in stoppage time at the end of the match. But a win's a win. Nobody's going to quibble about it on the stat sheet at the end of the season. They're just going to see that it was a Douglas win. Squad selection, as always, is the key. They've been really, really stable, but they have started now to pick up the almost attritional knocks that you'd expect during the season. Skipper Blake Snell out. He's covered by Liam Kirkpatrick in the second row. Simon Hardinott not available this week. I don't know whether that's injury. There was nothing reported after last week's fixture. But Simon Hardinott, obviously a big player for them. But they've got plenty of bodies to cover that. The guys have been going well in the second team. Kudzai Chenda is a name that I spotted on the bench. He looked impressive for Douglas Celts a couple of weeks ago in that game against Southern Nomads. Lots of athletic running off the ball, and he looks like a real prospect in either the second row or potentially even the back row. Get him in at blindside, but a big rangy runner, fit lad as well, gets himself about the park, so he's maybe one to keep an eye on. But Douglas, I see that the team's out. There's a couple of changes, but nothing significant. Liam Kirkpatrick is going to lead instead of Blake Snell, and I think we've got Owen Carvin coming into the front row. Josh Campbell, the new guy, he's managing to keep his place so far as well, so everything looking good at Douglas. Fingers crossed for them at Birkenhead Park.
Yeah, let's take a look at that. Douglas starting 15 and some numbers 1 to 15 in numerical order. It is Connor Garland, Josh Campbell, Owen Carvin, Harry Cartwright, Ethan Kermode, Blake Everson, Ian Larson, the captain, Liam Kirkpatrick, Nathan Robson, Matty Wood, Craig Martin, Josh Duncan, Harry Hewson, Ollie Corkish and Kyle Martin. Phil Kringle, the coach, names three substitutes. They are John Dutnell, Kudzai Chenda and Jack Wallace. And then we turn our attention to Ramsey. Well, it's a bit of a case of take two for Ramsey in Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, because this game happened due to take place several weeks ago, but courtesy of Storm Amy, it never happened. So second time of asking, Ramsey, a chance maybe to get some more points on the board, a few more signs of life for them in Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire, Cheshire in recent weeks.
Yeah, I had a major speed wobble this morning, Rob, and I'll confess to everybody on air as well. I make the travel arrangements for Ramsey. We'd sorted out the steam packet, and I was just double checking on the coach invoice and the out of hours number for the coach company. I couldn't find any contact with them anywhere, so I quickly emailed them and said, "Have we actually got a booking?" And as luck would have it, and
joys of off-island travel for sports.
Fair play to Paul at Selwyn's Coaches across there in Manchester. He came back to me quite quickly and said, "Yes, you've got a booking. Don't worry." Thank God for that. I wonder how and when I did that, because I can't find any trace of it. But email's been up and down a little bit recently.
Just say for anyone who didn't actually hear that the rest of that in context before, and will have been in for some suspense over the last couple of minutes until you actually got to the point to say we do have a coach available.
Yeah. So the coach is booked. Ramsey away to Clitheroe. Never played Clitheroe before. Got no form guide. Clitheroe did put 102 points past Congleton last week, and obviously Congleton beat Ramsey in week one of the season, so it doesn't suggest it's going to be a positive result. However, I did a little bit of digging. I like to have a little root around in team sheets, and I spotted that there were seven or eight changes to the Congleton team that played Clitheroe last week. Compared to the game that they played against Ramsey in the opening week of the season. I'm thinking it's the travel distance. It's about 70 miles each way from Congleton up to Clitheroe. That's going to potentially be an hour and a half each way in travelling, and sometimes that's a little bit too much to ask of the UK players, who perhaps aren't quite as resilient as when it comes to travel as us here in the Isle of Man. Changes to Ramsey team. Yes, unfortunately, there are a few. There's some unavailability. Last-minute injury to Kyle Schneer. He picked up a knock in training last night. He's not able to travel. But the gaps have been filled. It's as strong a team as is available. I have my some reservations, really, about the squad depth that we have at Ramsey. I'm going to say we, I'm going to say they, but it sounded quite an accusatory sort of statement. But yeah, the squad depth isn't perhaps as much as we'd like, and they may suffer. The team tomorrow, I'm going off the top of my head here, Rob, so you might have picked it up otherwise, it will be Adam Dunlop, Ben Hardman, Michal Flynn, Jared May and Aaron Curfee. The captain at number 8 is Josh Cateen. On the flanks, we've got Finlow Corkle and Matthew Meakin. Dan Kelly at scrum half, Tom Moffat at standoff. In the centres, Kieran Neal, Adam Dempsey. On the wings, we've got Braden Roach. Fullback, it will be Luke Ward. And I'm just missing the other winger. God, I've got 14 out of 15.
I was going to say, just for context, of course, you can't see this at home. Dave is trying to record it off the top of his head. I have that team sheet in front of me. He's named 14 of the 15 starting 11. I'll give you one last chance for these next couple of seconds. You've got 5 seconds. Could you get that last one?
No.
It's Harvey Collister. Harvey Collister, the final of that. So, yes, just to recap that, rehearsed, if you like, starting 15 for Ramsey away at Clitheroe. Silcock Park, so that's a 2 o'clock kickoff tomorrow at County Street, 8 a.m. at Lancashire, Cheshire. Numbers 1 to 15 in order. It's Adam Dunlop, Ben Hardman, Michal Flynn, Jared May, Aaron Curfee, Finlow Corkill, Matthew Meakin, the captain, Josh Cateen, and then in the backs, it's Dan Kelly, Tom Moffat, Braden Roche, Kieran Neal, Adam Dempsey, Harvey Collister, and Luke Ward. And the three substitutes for Ramsey will be Josh Kelly, Finn Bradley and Al Christian. And we'll quickly turn our attention as well to matters locally, because the Hartford Homes Manx Shield returns this weekend down in the south of the island at Ballykillia Park. That's going to see Southern Nomads taking on Western Vikings, Dave.
Yeah, we covered the first meeting between the two at QE2, which was a few weeks ago. That was an interesting fixture. Vagabonds had arrived to provide a bit of support to Western Vikings. Some of the Douglas players who were unavailable that day, I think it was Storm Amy Day, some of the Douglas guys had come down to support Nomad. So there was a lot of joke on the sideline that it was Doug Nads against Viking Bonds. That was the sort of word on the touchline. But I know, fair play to the players for all mucking in and making sure that everybody gets game time, which is quite important. Particularly when the domestic side of things is a little bit short. On paper, it should be a Nomads win. They had a good win last week in their friendly against Lim Reapers. And, of course, next weekend, we've got Cheshire Bowl action. Ramsey and Southern Nomads at the Murrick Park. So it's quite important for Nomads to keep a sort of string of matches together. And, of course, we've had Western Vikings with a little bit of a public appeal earlier this week that they're running short of players and trying to generate a little bit of publicity for the club to make sure they recruit everybody who can possibly be recruited. I sense some frustration from Ed Knight, the captain, about training attendance, and that frustration is probably nothing new to anybody involved in sport. You never quite get the same numbers at training that you'd really like, unless there's something big coming up, and that tends to generate the enthusiasm.
Well, yes, and speaking of that particular matter, Western Vikings, we did actually have a chat on Manx Radio with Ed Knight. You'll be able to hear more on that over on Saturday Sport Classified tomorrow. That'll be on Manx Radio's AM 1368 frequency between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Plus, of course, during that programme, we'll be bringing you all the results, reaction and analysis to the day's action, football, rugby and hockey as well, both on Ireland and further afield. Thank you, Dave. Christian, for now, we're going to have a look at the latest hockey fixtures up next, where league action returns after cup competitions took centre stage 6 days ago.
Manx Radio Sport.
Finally, tonight on Friday Sport Preview, we're going to be turning our attention to hockey. Now, plenty has been happening with regards to hockey, both on and off Ireland, in the last 7 days or so, and there's more to come this weekend. To go through it with us all, as always, is our hockey correspondent, Ben Cunningham. Ben, before we do the usual thing of turning our attention to the league fixtures that are coming up this Saturday, we're going to take back, actually, towards last weekend, because we had a couple of the Isle of Man's junior national teams in action last weekend, specifically the Isle of Man under-14 boys squad and the Isle of Man under-18 boys squad competing in the England Hockey Championship up against the Preston sides of the respective age groups. Mixed results, victory for the under-14 boys, defeat for the under-18s. How much of an experience will that have been for them?
Yeah, like you say, Rob, it's been a busy 7 days for Manx hockey, absolutely. For the under-14 boys, great result for them progressing on. For the under-18s, I'm sure they'd be disappointed, but as we say week in, week out, when the Ireland teams go away, it's a fantastic opportunity for them to play against more experienced hockey clubs. But also, they're going away and they've got that Isle of Man top on and they're representing the Isle of Man. We couldn't ask for anything more.
Just coming off that point again, yes, you're quite right. We do mention it each year, and listening to some of the players that you speak to and some of the coaches we speak to as well, to be exposed to different styles of hockey as well when you go into the likes of the UK as well and to all these different clubs as well. It's not just the things for the bigger picture as well. It's the small little details that you might pick up game by game, which can be, I imagine, crucial, particularly at a younger age.
Absolutely, yeah. The pace, like you say there, the pace of the game is a lot quicker when going across playing against teams in the UK. But again, yeah, different types of styles which different clubs play, because every club that competes in them competitions all have their own way of playing. And I'm sure it was a good test for our Ireland teams who played the way that they play.
Indeed. So, yes, it was a 7-1 victory for the Isle of Man under-14 boys against Preston under-14s and a 7-3 defeat for the Isle of Man under-18s boys against Preston under-18 boys. So, no doubt, plenty learnt across both fixtures there. Turning our attention then back to this weekend, the focus was on cup competitions last time out. The first cup competitions of 2020, mixed cup competitions, I should say, of 2025 in Manx hockey last weekend. But we turn back to league action. Ben, before we get to the fixtures, there has been some changes to the schedule due to the Ireland senior national teams being involved this weekend, which we'll go into in just a few minutes' time. But that means there has been some alterations to what the previous programme was.
Yeah, so all the Premier League fixtures this week have had a slight change. So we only have one Premier League fixture going ahead this weekend. We had one fixture that was played midweek, which was Harlequins A against Vikings B. That was a 5-0 win to Harlequins A. Ronan Santanatolio, Caleb Blakemore, Rachel Milton and Alfie Swales were two goals there, giving Quins that win. Next week, we have Backers against Castletown Celts. That's being played at King William's College on the
7:30 p.m. pushback.
And then Valkyries against Vikings, I think that's the 28th.
That's Tuesday the 28th, yeah. And that is an 8:30 pushback. And actually just taking a look at one of those, in fact, as well. Backers A versus Castletown Celts. I mean, that is the meeting of the current top two and both sides undefeated so far. So that could be a big game midweek next week.
It's going to be a massive game, yes. But when you look at the league tables, and we've been saying it each week so far, Backers A, 36 goals scored, 6 conceded. For Castletown Celts, 16 scored, but 11 conceded. So it's going to be a tough ask. Like you say, both teams remain undefeated. However, Backers, 5 wins from 5. Castletown Celts, 3 wins, 2 draws. I can see that going Backers A way. So Backers A win, but never rule out a Castletown team to cause an upset.
Yeah, Backers A, the defending mixed Premier League champions, have been relentless at the start of the season. 5 wins from 5, Castletown Celts, 3 wins from 5 and 2 draws as well. But that's all to come later down the line. Back to this weekend, and as Ben's mentioned, with the slight changes to the schedule that we have due to the Ireland senior teams being away this weekend, just the one mixed Premier League game this weekend, and that is a 12:35 pushback at Castle Rushen High School, and that is Castletown Southerners, still searching for their first win of the season, just 1 point on the board so far, up against Backers B, who sits 6th out of the 8 teams so far. Again, they've got just the one win on the board so far.
Yeah, and it's a massive game, because if Castletown Southerners could win this this weekend, they will go level on points with Vikings B, Backers B, and of course then that will put them level on points with them. And that makes that bottom of the table in the mixed Premier League a battle between three teams. Of course, we have still got the split to come in this division, so that will make things very interesting. At the moment, if things stay as they are, potentially you could have Vikings A, Backers B, Vikings B and Castletown Southerners in that bottom split. So it's all still to play for, still early stages. This is going to be a very, very close game though, I reckon, and I'd like to see Southerners do it, but I think Backers might just have the edge. But again, as we say, the Ireland teams are away this week. They travel tomorrow, hopefully all being well regarding the weather. So could Backers B have a few players missing? Who knows?
Indeed. Well, Mixed Division 1, it's a full programme actually, so they've got 3 games taking place. The early pushback is at 11 a.m. at the NSC, and that sees Harlequins B, 2nd from bottom at the start of the season, up against the Vikings C side, who are the only team below them. 5 defeats from 5, so it's been a tough start for Vikings C.
Yeah, and they really need to start finding some points there very soon, otherwise it could be a very early relegation for Vikings. See Harlequins B, though, looking really good, very much clear of Vikings C at the bottom of the league. Okay, they're second from bottom, but there are two other teams level on points with Harlequins B in this division. This division's looking really close so far. The top two only split by just 1 point, and then that middle bit all level. So it's going to be very close, but Harlequins B win on that one.
And actually 3 points separating first down to fifth, and there's only six teams in the division as well, so it is close indeed. Speaking of who's leading the way in Mixed Division 1, his back is C with 4 wins from 5. They're on the road at Ramsey A this weekend, Ramsey Grammar School, at 12:35 pushback tomorrow.
Yeah, back is C looking really good. Okay, they've had that one loss, but they have been looking really strong going forward, scoring plenty of goals, 15 goals scored, but again, 4-11 conceded, so defensively a little bit leaky. For Ramsey, though, 14 goals scored, 10 conceded. It's going to be an even game, I reckon, but I think Bacchus C will come out on top on that one.
And the other game in Mixed Division 1 is an Interclub Derby, 12:35 at QE2 in the west of the island. And that sees Valkyries C, currently fourth in the table at the moment, playing Valkyries B, who are second and just 1 point off the top.
Yeah, and you'd favour the Valkyries B side to come out on top, but again, when these two sides, I think they've already played each other, it was a very close encounter in the first play of this fixture. So it'll be a good friendly Western Derby, but you'd favour the B team to come out on top.
And we'll quickly just take a look through the other division. So Mixed Division 2, Ben, we've got 3 games tomorrow.
Yep, we've got Ramsey Ravens against Bacchus Colts. That's at 2:05 at Ramsey Grammar School. I'm going to go for a Bacchus Mixed Colts win there. Vikings D against Castletown Cushacks at the NSC, 2:05. Vikings D win there. And then a Castletown Derby between Castletown Camag and Castletown Cosney. And I'm going to go for a Camag's win. And that's at Castle Russian High School at 2:05.
And there's also a full schedule in Mixed Division 3. There's 4 games there on Saturday.
And the first one is at 11 o'clock between Castletown Carrick and Harlequin C. Going to go for a Harlequin C win there. That's at Castle Russian High School. Again, at 11 o'clock at QE2, we see Vikings E against Valkyries D. Valkyries D win on that one. Bacchus D against Harlequins D at the NSC, 12:35. I'm going to go for a Bacchus D on that one. I just think they'll have the strength over a young Harlequins D side. And then finally, Bacchus Mixed Bucks against Ramsey Rookies at Ramsey Grammar School at 3:35. I'm going to go for a Bacchus Mixed Bucks win there.
Okay, and last but certainly not least, we've got a couple of minutes, so I think it's only right that we give a mention to the Isle of Man senior national teams. They are beginning their latest England Hockey Championship campaigns tomorrow. Well, 3 of those teams are. The Isle of Man Ladies A team were due to play this weekend in the Women's Tier 2 Trophy. However, their opponents, Lim Ladies First 11, have conceded the fixture, so no game for them this weekend. Elsewhere, though, Ben, we've got 3 teams in action, the Isle of Man Men's A, the Isle of Man Men's B, and the Isle of Man Ladies B.
Yeah, and it's great when you look through the squads. I know you've got the squads in front of you there, Rob. A wide variety of players from all different clubs around the island, which is great to see that all the clubs have got at least 1 or 2 players from the clubs in the island setups, which is great to see. And again, we said it last year, it's great that there's now 2 senior men teams and 2 senior ladies teams, which just shows how big the community of Manx hockey is on the island and how much that players want to develop and progress their playing.
And just correct me if I'm wrong on this point, Ben, but I believe it's the 3rd consecutive season that the Isle of Man has now fielded 2 senior men and senior female teams as well.
Your stats might be better than mine, but I think you are correct on that one, but we'll find out and we'll confirm it tomorrow night.
Either way, we can get that confirmed, but just again, to come off your point there, the fact that the Isle of Man is in a position to be fielding this many players and this many teams is the main aim, just to keep offering those opportunities, keep opening doors for these players.
Absolutely, definitely. We want to be opening more avenues for the younger players to come in. There's a lot of young players coming through, which is great to see. Of course, we've got the England Hockey Pathway, which, again, we've got players coming from the island into that setup, which is great to see. And yeah, things are looking really good island-wide for both the senior and junior squads.
Excellent, Ben. Thank you very much. And just a few more details on the teams that will be the Isle of Man senior national hockey teams that will be in action tomorrow. The Isle of Man Men's A squad, they're going to be competing in the England Hockey Men's Tier 2 Trophy. They'll be travelling to take on West Derby Men's First 11. That'll be taking place at Hope Park in Liverpool at 2:30 p.m. pushback. The Isle of Man Men's B squad, they're away at Goulburn and Prescott, second 11 in the England Hockey Men's Tier 3 Vars, 2:45 p.m. pushback at Goulburn Sports and Social Club. And then for the Isle of Man Ladies B squad, like the Isle of Man Men's A, they'll be heading to Merseyside, but they will be facing Liverpool Sefton Ladies second 11. That'll be in the England Hockey Women's Tier 3 Vars. That taking place at Queen's College in Liverpool, a pushback of 2:30 p.m. And we do indeed have details of these squads. We don't have time to go through them all just at this moment, but if you want to see who's taking part in those fixtures for the Isle of Man national sides this weekend, full details are available at manxradio.com. So all that's left for me to say is thank you very much for joining us on Friday Sport Preview this evening. Have yourself a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend as well. But from me and the team, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.